Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Victorious Living. This is your host, Minister Janice. Is there anything too hard for God? Hard things are His specialty. He won't fail. Jeremiah 32 and 27. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come today thanking you, God, for your goodness and your mercy, God. Thanking you, God, for your keeping power. Thanking you, God, for Jesus, your only begotten Son. Oh, God, we thank you for Jesus, because if it had not been for Jesus, where would we be? Master, we know that you are everywhere. You're omnipresent. You're in the valley. You're on the mountaintop. You're on the hillside. You're in the deepest ocean. Oh, God, we know you are everywhere. And you're desiring to be in us. We ask you right now in the name of Jesus that you open up our hearts, that we will receive your word. Open up our ears that we can hear it, oh God. We ask you right now in the name of Jesus. We will give you praise. We will give you all the glory because it all belongs to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we thank God. Thank him. We have been talking about limiting God. And we know so many times we see in our own lives when we begin to have doubt. When we begin to have a lot of uncertainty, we are limiting God. Yeah. So limiting God should never be an objection that we choose to possess. It shouldn't be something that we choose to possess that. No. It shouldn't even be a part of our conversation. We shouldn't have second thoughts when he already said he was going to do it. We should believe. When we hear that the words of the word omnipresent, this simply means that he is everywhere. Yes, Jesus is everywhere. He's in every situation. He's in every circumstance that we can possess. Every one of them. No matter how big, no matter how small, no matter how we think is nothing, he is right in there. And the minute that we begin to see that and believe that, we are better off. He's there when we wake up. He's there when we lay down. Through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we witness his presence every day. Even the sinner, think about this. When we were in sin, he was still there. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So it's not that he's with the good people and then he's not with the bad. It's not that way. He is not that kind of God. Glory be to God, huh? Think about it. Think about that. He's with all of us, no matter what we do. No matter what we say, he's just merciful. Yeah. He's sovereign. That's what he is. He loves us even when we don't love ourselves. Glory be to God. Yeah. We can see him. in the trees. We can see him in the skies. We can see him in some of our family members. We can see him in the children, how innocent and pure they are when they come and just tell us something. Like, it's going to be all right. Coming out of the mouth of babes, that God speaks through them. God is everywhere. Yes. He's even in our business. Even in the business deals that we call private. If we allow him to be Lord and Savior over our lives, he is in those deals. Yes. Let's look closely at Jesus. Let's just look closely at him. And in some of the biblical stories where he was. In the book of Ruth, we're just going to go quickly because I'm going to really paraphrase these lessons real quick. But in the book of Ruth, we know that Ruth was the daughter-in-law to Naomi. Everybody know this story. You know that she was the daughter-in-law to Naomi. And we know that her mother-in-law, Naomi, had lost her husband and her two sons. And, you know, think about that. The lesson doesn't tell us if it was something rapidly, it didn't say if they all perished at the same time. The lesson just tells us that it happened. And if we or you have witnessed someone leaving this earth, and you were, saw every day, you saw often that you spend time with, you know that is a devastating moment. That is a devastating time. That is a time of grieving. It's a time of healing. It's just a time of a lot of things going on. Well, think about it. Naomi was experiencing that. And the sons had left wives. Yeah, they had wives. But Naomi, being the woman that she was, felt that they didn't need to stay with her because she had nothing for them anymore. Her sons were all gone. It was just her now. And she wanted to send her daughter-in-laws back to their land, back to their nation, back to their countries. Mm-hmm. And, of course, one of the daughter-in-laws agreed to go ahead and leave. Yeah. Oprah. She left. But then they had this one daughter-in-law who had this relationship that was just, it was binding. It was a binding relationship. And it was just far more than just a mother-daughter relationship. Mother-in-law and daughter-in-law relationship, because it was more like a mother-daughter. That's where I'm trying to go. It was more like a mother-daughter relationship. It was almost like Naomi gave birth to Ruth. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It was like that. Because they had intertwined in this relationship till Ruth did not want to leave her. She wanted to care for her mother-in-law. She wanted to just take care of her. And really, when she, the word take care meant labor, get the food, provide, because her mother-in-law probably at that state was probably frail. She was probably hurting. She probably had a lot going on, and Ruth could see that this was not a time to leave her, even though Ruth herself had become a widow. Think about that, taking your eyes off yourself. Now, you know, I want you to stay with me that our lesson is is this. This is our lesson. Our lesson is limiting God. Mm-hmm. So often we limit him. We try to put him in a box. We try to put him in a box. We try to put him in timeout. But I want you to pay attention to this lesson here where you can't put a limitation on God. So here we see how Ruth wanted to take care of Naomi. So Naomi mentioned to Ruth that they had a field, they had land, they had crops, they had grain that was growing over in this area that was not too far. And that she was explaining to Ruth that if she wanted to work and to provide, that if she would just go with the women in the morning, she would be able to go and glean. Gleaning mean whatever the leftovers, that's what it was, the leftovers, wherever they were, which they were usually around the end, the trimming, the fence, around the borders of the property was where they would leave the scraps, the leftovers. And most of the time, those who gleaned, that's where they would go. They would take their sacks, and they would go pick up the leftovers from the field. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Now, you just think about it. You, who are a widower, and you had a mother-in-law, but you don't have a mother-in-law now. That's why you see it, because your mate is gone. And so you don't even have an idea. It didn't even cross your mind that you need to help her. But look at Ruth. Gradually, Ruth became familiar to the land. She kind of caught on to how it was done. Remember, Ruth was not from that part of the country. When she married Naomi's son, she came from another place. Okay? So here we see that Ruth became familiar. Are you listening to this? She became familiar with the owner of the land. And eventually, the lady she found, Ruth, the ladies that Ruth had found had told her about the owner, and his name was Boaz. Now, Ruth kind of remember hearing Naomi say where she was going. She asked her what area you were going in, and Ruth was trying to explain to her where she was going, and Naomi was trying to tell her that she felt that this owner of this land was kin to their family in some kind of way, in some kind of distant relative or something. But Ruth didn't take too much to it. She was mainly trying to provide. Yeah, just trying to provide. Mm-hmm. And I know we all feel gloomy. We all feel gloomy sometimes. But we need to shake it off. Shake off the doom, shake off the gloom, because God cannot be limited. Think about that. So Ruth became part of this group of ladies who would go out and they would pick up the leftovers from the field. Mm-hmm. Folks, you have to remember, you can't limit God. He's the best thing that could have ever happened to you, to me, to anyone else. Let's look at this lesson a little further. And it says that as Ruth began to continue to work the field and become familiar with the owner of the field and begin to draw into a relationship, a friend type thing with the owner. And it doesn't say that Ruth went looking for the owner, but it said that the owner found Ruth and started watching her. You know, the scripture tells us that a man is supposed to leave his father, and he's supposed to leave his mother, and he, did you listen to me, ladies? He is to find himself a wife. It don't say nothing about a woman get out and start running around trying to find your husband, okay? That is not the order of God. But here we see Ruth eventually had that relationship, and it grew, and it began to grow. And we see later on in the chapter that Ruth married Boaz. And as Ruth married Boaz, I want you to listen to this, she had a son, and his son's name was Obi. And as Obi grew up, he had a son. And Obi's son was David. And who was David? David became the king of Israel. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Don't limit to God. Look at Ruth. She worked the field, and now she is part owner of the field that she worked. So many times we just think, this is it. There's nothing else going to happen. But God has a plan. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You can't limit it him. You can't go around saying, this is what God got for me. This is it. I guess this is going to be everything or whatever. No, he has a plan. And greater, did you hear what I said? He said, greater works will you do. Huh? And he is not a person that just throw out words and say things. If he said it, he going to do it. Now listen to this here. In the book of Joshua 2, I'm going to try to be quickly with this. Joshua 2. Chapter 2, 1 through 11. And I'm just going through this whole story. This is the story here. I want you to pay very close attention to this. Here we see, in this lesson, it was about Rahab. Mm-hmm. And the spies. We learn here that, again, we cannot limit God. We need to stop. Stop trying to put him in a box. Stop trying to give him a certain area. He's the God on the mountain. He's the God in the valley. He's the God on the hill. He's the God in the ocean. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And he will be your God if you don't keep limiting him. He can be that same God to you and to your family. Joshua, son of Nun, had secretly sent two spies. Mm-hmm. Secretly sent the spies into the house of, and they went into the house. When they went into this land, now you think about this, of all the houses that they went to, these were the houses where the prostitutes were, okay? And I guess this in those days, and really even in today, that would be a place where it was easily discussed. It was easily known because they always had a lot of travelers going in and out. Think about that. And the spies went to Rahab's house. And as they were hiding, they had a call that went out. And it was a call that the king had said that they had had spies. Some spies have come through our country. Some spies are in here, and we need to get them out. We need to get them out because they are here to spy on us. So they asked Rahab to tell the spies to get out. But Rahab had already showed the men the rooftop where they could come and hide and be safe. Now, I want you to just stay with me because we can't limit God. The king told Rahab to let the men out of her house. Uh-huh. Let them out. Let them go. Because they were Israelites, and all they wanted to do was to spy on them. Rahab and the women had taken in two spies. They had taken them to the roof. And just before bedtime, listen to this, Rahab decided she was going to go and pay a visit. She was going to go and visit these two spies. And the conversation was always, the conversations are always important, especially the ones about God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Rahab said, this is what she said. I know that your Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear, and that we are of great fear of you, and a great fear of you have fallen on us, meaning that particular region. We who are in this country are melting down into fear. But we have heard, listen to this now, Rahab, the harlot, who people think harlots don't have a brain. People think harlots don't have a heart. But harlots have a soul. Are you listening to what I'm saying? The Lord, she said that we know about the Lord, your Lord, and how he dried up the water in the Red Sea. Mm-hmm. And we know that you came out of Egypt. Listen to that. Huh? And that the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan were both destroyed. Listen to this. Somebody been doing homework. Somebody been paying attention. Somebody have been doing research. Are you listening? Listen to Rahab. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rahab, the harlot, speaking about our God. She said, for the Lord your God is in heaven above, and he's also, glory be to God. She said he's also in the earth below. Are you listening to me? Talk like a new convert. Talk like somebody whose heart has been touched. Listen to this. So here we see Rahab has decided to make a deal. Are you listening to me? See, when you hear a word, this is what the scripture said. When you hear a word, when you hear it, let not your heart be hardened. Huh? But it says for us to open up our hearts that we may receive what thus said the Lord. So here we see she decided that she wanted to make a deal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she says, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Kindness, I want you to remember this, is an attribute, a major attribute from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please give me a sure sign that you will spare me and my family, my father and my mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, that we will be saved from death. Oh, you listen to what I'm saying? Rahab has done homework. Rahab has learned who Jesus is. You can't limit him. You can't limit him. You can't even take him away from the harlot. Because he will go in and he will find the harlot. Are you listening to what I'm saying? The man reassured Rahab that he would, that she would be treated and her family would be treated with kindness, the same kindness that she had given them. Listen to that. But the man also promised Rahab in for an oath. He asked her for an oath that she would swear that what has taken place between them that day, that would tie them together, that she would never, never tell anyone what was said or what was done. And he also told her that there would be a thread, a red cord that she was to hang in the window. Glory be to God. And this, when she would hang this in the window, when the enemy would come, they would know not to touch that dwelling. Oh, you listen to what I'm saying. Glory be to God. You can't limit him. You can't limit God. He will come in. Yes. He'll make his enemies get to know him. Get to know him. Hallelujah. Hmm? He said, if anyone should go outside, He said, then that blood would not be on their hands. So they had to stay in. They had to stay in the dwelling. And Rahab had to leave that cord in the window, the same area where they were, the same window where they came through themselves. That's how they would know this is Rahab's family. Glory be to God. The spies told Rahab that she could not tell anyone what had been told that day. And Rahab was asked to swear, to take an oath. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Take an oath. Just like the military. Think about it. The military takes oaths. Doctors takes oaths. Judges takes oaths. Just a promise to God. A promise of commitment. Oh, glory be to God. Committing your life. Committing yourself. Look at this. Rahab knew all about our God. She knew how he had parted the Red Sea. Glory, glory. She knew it. And she was able to stand and tell the spies what she knew. So don't limit God. Just when you feel hopeless, fearful, everyone around you is afraid, because this is what she was experiencing. Everybody was afraid. They were afraid that he will make all of them. He would destroy all of them. This is what the people who didn't take time to know who our God is. They were fearful because they had heard that he would come in and he would destroy them, the Canaanites. Glory be to God. Rahab, she was a Canaanite woman. She was not of an Israelite descendant. But she accepted Christ. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Think about it. He will make a way. When it seems there is no way, our God is an awesome God. Yeah. And he came in, and Rahab and her family, generations were spared. They were saved. All because the harlot opened up her mouth and wanted to know, how could she be a part of this God? How could she be a part and be saved? Are you listening to me? She was talking about the physical method of physical protection, but it went a little deeper. Glory be to God. Because when she took that oath, when she made that commitment, not only did she make a physical commitment, but it was spiritual commitment too, that she would become a part of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and her family. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Glory. You can't limit God. You can't limit him. Just when it looked like nothing going to happen, when it looked like it's all over, take your hands off. Let him be God. Let him be God all by himself. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, God, for this day. We thank you for this moment. We thank you for this opportunity. We ask, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that you touch our hearts, touch our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. We ask, oh God, that you look upon the bereaved family, Sister Bolton's family, God. We ask, oh God, that you look upon them now in the name of Jesus. We will be careful to give you praise, give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And we say amen. Amen. We look forward to having you back here on Sunday and on Saturday at the same number. Be blessed.